Crowds of people were not only following him everywhere he went, but as he moved from location to location, he had multitudes waiting for him. Many times, she says, it was like a modern-day rock star trying to go through a crowd of his or her fans. It seems that the curiosity had worn off, and now people flocked to him for healing or to listen to what he had to say. The Sanhedrin, Jewish council of elders and sages who were the judges and lawmakers of Israel, Pharisees, the most powerful political party at that time, and priests all took notice of the popularity of Christ, and many in these bodies became skeptical and jealous. There were also some who sought his advice and counsel and believed in him, such as Nicodemus, but as we will see, the majority followed the lead of the high priest Caiaphas. Jesus then heals a paralytic, Matthew 9:2-8, Mark 2:3-12, Luke 5:18-25, which carries some significance. Although the healing was great, it was what he said to the man with palsy that grabs our attention. He told the man that his sins were forgiven, which was a no-no as far as any Jews were concerned, for they believed that only God could forgive sins. Feeling the animosity starting to build at his supposed audacious statement, Jesus then told witnesses that he had the power to forgive sins, and as proof, he told the paralyzed man to arise and walk, and he did. Jesus thus showed them that he had been given the power to forgive sins by his Father in heaven. For those of us who believe in reincarnation, it also shows that this could have been a situation in which the paralyzed man was fulfilling karma. Jesus, knowing that the man was fulfilling a karmic obligation, forgave him the sins that caused the karma, and thereby the man was able to walk. This would make perfect sense because Christ had learned and accepted the philosophy of reincarnation, which, as you will see, manifests several times later on, and knew all about karma with its cause and effect. We see Christ's position on karma later on with the next healing, which is mentioned in John 5:2-16, in which Christ heals another man unable to walk at Bethsaida, or Bethesda. This healing also has significance in that the healing was done on the Sabbath, which was another no-no as far as Jewish law was concerned. Now, this particular portion of the book of John mentions a pond in Jerusalem called Bethsaida, meaning having five porches, which was sort of like the water at Lourdes. As John relates the story, the sick and infirm lay around this pond because from time to time an angel of God would descend into the pond and make the water move. It was at the time that the water moved that the first one in the pond would be healed and made whole. Jesus came to this place and noticed by the pond a man unable to walk and asked him if he wanted to be healed. The man replied that he had been there a long time, but had no one to lift him into the water before someone else went in. Jesus healed him and left, and others asked the healed man who had done the healing and rebuked him, for it had been done on the Sabbath. The passage I like, though, has references to the premise of reincarnation, when Jesus found the man in the temple and said to him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest some worse thing happen to thee." Again, we see Jesus referring to sin as being the reason for the man's illness because of karma, and that he should sin no more or his karma might become worse. Once the crowd of Jews found out that Jesus had done the healing on the Sabbath, they started persecuting him because of it. But he told them that he was the Son of God and had been given the power of God to do as God would do. Despite his fame, many of the Judaic people were becoming angry with him over the breaking of certain Judaic laws. With Christ breaking such laws as performing healings and miracles on the Sabbath, we can now see more fully why Francine said he had come to change the law rather than to fulfill it. If Christ said he came to fulfill the law, he most certainly would not have gone around breaking Judaic law all the time. But if, as Francine said, he had come to change the law, Jesus would have had no problem in breaking laws that he felt needed changing.